Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
We can all just continue to join together in prayer. We are beginning to pray for our next space as a church. And so last week I just shared a little bit just saying we want to invite our church in to say pray with us. Begin looking with us as well. Looking, praying, all those different things because we believe God is stirring our heart for what's next. And so there's a lot of things that we were doing before kind of COVID, before we were homeless, before online, all those different things that we want to get back to, that we believe God's called us to help build community. We love doing things right after service, so like table talks and coming together for meals and all those things, that this will free us back up to do that. It'll free us up to do a little later service, right? Hallelujah, right there. All those different things. It just gives us a little bit more freedom to do some of those things as well. So one of the things that God has just placed on my heart for this season and the next season we're going into is this phrase, this idea, this culture really of we're in this together. And really, so that's why we wanted to come to you, present it to you as well, to say, hey, we're in this together. Let's pray about it. Let's begin to look and see what God has for us next as we're praying into that as a church, into as a community as well. But today we are on the last week of our series, and it's called More Than Enough, More Than Enough. And we've been on this journey to discover peace and contentment. And we've walking through the book of Philippians, and today we're in Philippians chapter 4. And so if you have your Bibles or your iPhone, whatever it is, iPad, Philippians chapter 4, our base verse is 10 through 13, but we're actually probably read verses 6 through 13 together. And I have quite a bit of scripture today. Is that okay? It was just all so good, you know, and I was like, should I take this out? I was like, no, I can't even do it, you know. So we're going to read a little bit of scripture today and kind of pick it apart. But the goal and the title today is called The Secret. The Secret. And the Apostle Paul, he states that word specifically in this chapter, and he says, I have discovered the secret. So anytime the Bible says they have the secret, I want to lean in, right? I want to say, what is that? What is the secret to contentment? What is the secret to peace? What is the secret to joy? And so the Apostle Paul gives us that through Philippians chapter 4. We're going to break that down here today. Everybody feel okay? Amen. Nice and warm and cozy? Very good. We're going to pray and then ask God just to speak to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for all the volunteers that are working and using their gifts and kids and worship and greeting and all those different aspects that go into it. Tech team, God, I'm thankful that we get to do this each and every Sunday, that we get to come together as a body and just to worship you, just to dive into the scriptures, God. I pray that you will speak to a heart, whether anybody that can hear my voice, whether to be online or in this room, God. I pray that you would just illuminate the scriptures to us. And I pray that we can leave here clinging to your peace, God, clinging to the contentment that you can give in us and through us. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, as I began to pray and think about this message here today and the topic and the idea, I began to think, I was like, this is one of those topics where it affects everyone. It doesn't matter what age we are. It doesn't matter what season of life we're in. It doesn't matter how much money we make. It doesn't matter whatever kind of working class we are. It doesn't matter what our past looks like. It doesn't matter where we are. This what we're talking about today, affects everyone. There is no escaping it, right? Just to build the drama up, right? Like, there is no escaping the wrestling of what we're talking about today. The tension that we feel, everybody can feel it at some level. Even, I would say, early elementary kids. That was Maddox. I call him Mad Dog here on the screen. He talks about, I love football because it helps relieve some of the stress. I'm like, you're 8. Like, what a stress, right? Like, those things. But it doesn't matter. You still feel some kind of tension, some kind of wrestling in our minds, wrestling in our hearts, and those things there. And so as we talk about this today, I believe it's so important and so vital for us to lean in and hear, okay, what is the secret that the Apostle Paul is talking about here? And at the beginning of the series, week one, I brought out a verse that was really on my heart and really became the center piece so much of this series. And it's John 14, 27, where Jesus is teaching. He says, "This peace I give you, and this peace the world cannot give, that I am the one that gives this peace." And it's like Jesus makes this bold statement saying, I'm drawing a line in the sand and the world cannot give this. The only place that you can get this is in relationship with me, is through Jesus, is through him. And he's like, this is the only way to receive this supernatural, all-encompassing peace. And today, I just want to revisit that because that's where we're going back to right here in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul comes, circles back around as he's closing this chapter up. I believe the Apostle Paul was like a preacher. You know, he came through. Most people are not sure. Scholars do not know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I believe it was Paul with all those different things. But all those things because he began to write and he was a preacher. And as you read Philippians and all the different books in the New Testament, you see how he just delivered concepts, and every time right at the end of those, he would kind of come back full circle and say, hey, don't forget these things. Hey, bring these things together. Hey, connect these concepts, connect these ideas. And this is where we are talking about this tension, and that tension is contentment. You and I, we're wrestling with that. And contentment is kind of one of those concepts and those things that I feel like can be a little foggy. It may can mean one thing for another person and another thing for someone else. But I love this definition. It says the state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. That's just to think about that, going being mentally or emotionally satisfied. I think that's the word right there, satisfied. When I looked at that, I mean, we just had Thanksgiving, right? Like, you just eat that Thanksgiving meal and you are satisfied. I mean, I'm probably past satisfied, where now I'm miserable because, right, I've eaten too much on my third plate. But that word satisfied, it stands out to me because if I think about emotionally, mentally, to be satisfied the way things are. And I just think about my life and the constant tension that I feel in my mind and my brain. And then I don't know about you, but for me, when I lay my head on the pillow at night, my mind is not laying on the pillow at night. It's thinking about the next day. It's thinking about things to get done. I was just telling my wife last night, we were laying in bed and I just said, hey, I'm not even tired. There's too much to do, right? There's too much in front of us to think about. And my mind is still going. Our minds can still go. And we can just feel this, almost this wrestling of, well, what's next? And you also have this tension. I'm going to get to the text in a minute, I promise. But we feel this tension, right, of even the world of saying, we need to hustle. We need to get on our grind. We need to make this happen, right? And we see this all around, and it's constantly pulling us for more. It's constantly pulling us to the next level. It's constantly going, I got to find my best self. I got to, all these things, right, which are all good things. We should work. We should toil. We should strive. We should work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? Like work out, like, but continue to do a good work. But yet it comes from this state of contentment, this state of being fully satisfied. And so we see this here in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul begins to break this down here in verse 10. He says this, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." I love that. The Apostle Paul, he's writing, if we remember, he's writing from prison. He's writing from a state where he literally has nothing, where if somebody has to bring him food, right? He has to bring him clothes. He's locked up in prison, and he's doing this because of the Gospels. And so as he's writing this, he gives us something. He says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." That's a pretty big statement, right? He's like, no matter if I have plenty, when I was a Pharisee and I had the money and I had the position and I had the power and I was in charge of all these things and we were running full steam ahead. He said, I've been there, right? And he said, but also I've been at my lowest point where I've had nothing, where now I'm sitting in prison. I don't even own myself, so to speak. I'm just sitting here waiting on what's next for me. And he's saying, in both of those situations, I have learned the secret to be satisfied. I've learned the secret from my soul to feel like it's complete. I've learned the secret from my heart to be easy, for my mind to be steady. And then he goes on here, and I want to just point out one quick thing, and then we're going to kind of break some of this down. But he says these two words here, the secret of being content. I love that he uses that word, being content. Right? He doesn't say, I've learned the secret of pursuing contentment. I've learned the secret of doing contentment, right? No, he said, I've learned the secret of being. He's used that word being, that being content comes out of a state of knowing what we talked about that first week, comes out of a state of knowing who we are, of being content. It comes out of a state of being, not just doing, not striving, not pursuing, but yet I know my contentment comes from my relationship with Jesus, comes out of being with him, not just doing, but yet knowing who I am in Christ, knowing that I am saved, knowing that I am secure. So all these things that we talked about last week, our heavenly prize and our eternal security and that Christ is walking with us, that he provides for us, all of that builds the foundation because I know that God is helping me be who he's called me to be. And now I live, my mental state, my emotions come out of being with God, being content. And then he continues on here and he goes to Philippians 4:13, and that's probably one of the most quoted verses, right? If not, maybe the top three quoted verses in the Bible. I can do all things, right, through Christ who gives me strength. I mean, it's college football, right? Go Dawgs. No? Clemson territory? Okay. But we're in football. You see Philippians 4:13 on the eyes. People holding it up. Like, we're going to this football game, right? We're going into the school year. I can do all things through Christ, right? And we're pulling it into all of these different contexts. But when the Apostle Paul uses it in context, he is using it with contentment. He is using it with peace. He is using it with joy. And in fact, he makes the bold statement. He's like, I have found the secret, right? Like, I have uncovered it. And the secret to being content is, you ready for this? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And Paul goes back and he says, the way that I can be content when I have a lot, the way that I can be content when I have a little, is because Christ gives me strength to be content. Whether I have a lot and I'm wrestling through success, I'm wrestling through pride, all these things that I'm wrestling with in that moment, God will give me strength to walk humbly. God will give me strength to carry on. God will give me strength to have the right perspective. And then when I am at my lowest, and I don't know what's next, and I feel like I'm drowning, and my heart hurts. I just lost my job. I'm wrestling through this, right? Like all of these things, yet Christ will give me strength in that moment and in that season to be content. And that's why being content is so much different than doing and striving for contentment. We have to go back to our relationship with God. And it's like I've said this before. As a pastor, I always want to be like, okay, here's this formula. A plus B equals X, right? Like if you do these three things, then boom, here's contentment. It's going to fly in. But God, every time he wrestles through this, he goes back to the relationship with him. He goes back to that personal, ongoing, deep, overflowing, passionate pursuit of being with Jesus. And the Apostle Paul goes back to it. He says the secret to contentment in every situation, in every moment, in every instant, is that it is through Christ he gives me the strength to do that. And if you're taking notes here today, it is Jesus who gives me strength to have contentment in every situation. Every situation. I love that word. It's such a big word, right? Because it encompasses what? Everything. And when we think about everything that we wrestle with, and in this season, I mean, we just finished Thanksgiving. We're heading into Christmas. and the hustle and bustle of the holidays, and we feel the weight of, oh, my kids need this, or my spouse needs this, or the school needs this, right? And all of a sudden, it's like all of these things coming about, and it can cause us to have this wrestling, this busy mentality, and this pressure almost to perform, or this pressure to wrestle with what's next. And I, for me as a pastor, I always love to be transparent with you guys as well, you know, and to know that the wrestling is not just, the wrestling is for everyone, and not just, I'm not immune to it, right? Because I stand up here and preach the word and preach the gospel, that we all wrestle with these things. And I think about, even as I honestly believe, kind of as the male perspective, if we even look back through the book of Genesis, the original curse was what? You're going to work and toil the land, right? There's something in us that we're going to constantly wrestle with that. We're going to constantly wrestle with the ambition, the next step, because that we have this working of the land that is here in this broken world, and we're striving and trying to be, and then we have our past, right? All the deficiencies that we're trying to make up for and be noticed for, and all of a sudden, all of that begins to build up in us. But God's going, I want you to live out of a state of being satisfied, a state of being fully content, knowing who you are in Christ, believing that God is working in you and through you, and that now you can go into your workplace, now you can go into your marriage, now you can go into, as a parent, all of these different things. You don't have to live through your kids, right? You don't have to go, I didn't make it, so you got to make it, right? Like, you're my retirement plan. Like, you got to make it, right? Like, I don't have to put that pressure on them, because I'm living out of a state of being content. Right? And if I'm a student and I'm walking through school, I don't have to walk in with this deep pressure. If I don't perform, then I am nothing. If I don't get this A, then I am nothing. If I don't make this team, if I don't make this whatever it is, then I am nothing. But Christ is going, it is me that gives you strength. And when you stay close and connected with me, you will find your contentment in me. It's like Jesus draws this line again where he's saying that it comes from me. The world can't give it to you, right? Because as soon as you get that next level at work, guess what? You're going to feel the same thing again. I need to go to another level. I need more. As soon as you get that brand new car, it is awesome, right? It smells good. The seats are clean, right? There is no, like, Cheerios under the seat. Like, this is amazing, right? But then 6 months later, guess what? It's just a car. And it's like, well, maybe I need something else. You know, maybe I need better gas mileage. Maybe I need this. And it's always constantly going. For me, I love to upgrade the house. Find little things to upgrade. Guess what? You can walk through the house and it's never ending, right? You're like, oh, we need to upgrade the baseboards. We need to do this. We need to, like, all of these things that we can continue to wrestle with. And it's like this constant battle. And if we're not careful, it can suck us in. And it can make and add this added stress, this added weight of life. And no matter what it is, it could be for the pursuit of money and more money and keeping up with the Joneses, all these things. It could be job. It could be career. It could be in my marriage. It could be as a parent, all these things that we've already talked about. But yet, if our contentment is resting on anything but Jesus, it's going to leave us hollow. It's going to leave us dry. It's going to leave us wanting more, right? It's not going to leave that satisfying feeling of saying, my contentment is in Christ and in Christ alone. That's where my hope is. That's where my prize is. And I love this illustration because Jesus continues to teach. And in Matthew chapter 13, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he just starts to describe this prize. And really what I want us to get from this is the mindset of the person he's talking about here in Matthew chapter 13. Everybody still good? Amen. And in verse 44, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought that field. It's like when you and I go into a relationship with Jesus, he becomes the prize. He becomes the source of everything that we need. He is more than enough. In this mindset of this person, he found the treasure. He was so infatuated by this treasure that he went back and he sold everything he had. He's saying, I need that treasure. I need this prize. I need this so much in comparison, right? I'm willing to sell everything so that I can have this prize. I can have this treasure. And this is not saying that we all have to be poor and living on the side of the road and then pursue Jesus with everything we have, right? Like, that's not what this is saying. He's saying, in comparison, our hearts, our mind, our pursuit should be pursuing the treasure of walking with Jesus, pursuing the hope that we have in Christ. And then he continues on here in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read this long piece of scripture. Everybody good? But this is so good. Matthew chapter 6 is verse 25. It says this. And as he's teaching about the worry of life, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Easier said than done, right? What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. Do they not sow and reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single day to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, people who are not following God, run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Amen, right? Like, this is a powerful scripture. And I love that Jesus, being the teacher that he is, he starts talking about worry. He starts talking about the fear. He starts talking about stress of life. And he takes our focus and he goes, hey, lean in, look. You see the bird flying? You see the flowers on the field? Look how beautiful that flower is. Look how beautiful my creation is. Look at the hill. And look how I just formed that hill, formed that mountain. Look at the bird in the sky. And look at the feathers. And every morning this bird wakes up and this bird has enough food. There's worms crawling on the ground. And he takes our mind and focuses back on creation and going, how much more do I love you than that bird? How much more do I love you than this flower that I clothe? Like, you are my prized possession. You are created in the image of God. He's saying, if I created you in the image of me, how much more will I take care of you? How much more will I be there for you? How much more will I give you strength? How much more will I take care of tomorrow for you? And I believe as Christians, as Christ followers, this should be, especially in today's time, in 2021, what better opportunity for you and I to look back to Matthew chapter 6, to look back at the pearl that's hidden, the treasure, right? To look back at John 14:27, and we are constantly refocusing people going, our strength, our hope, our peace was never in this world, right? What better opportunity for you and I to go, look, I know it's crazy right now. I know it's scary. I know it's fearful, but my peace, my contentment doesn't come from that. My peace, my contentment comes through Christ who gives me strength. And we start quoting that verse in context, right? And it gets powerful, right? Like, my contentment, I am satisfied. Okay, yeah, this is happening in the world. This is wrestling. I know it's difficult. Yes, I'm going to wrestle with you. We're going to pray about it, but yet I'm content. That definition of, just think about where we are, the state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with the things they are. 2020, come on, right? Like, content, God, in that? In 2020, content in that? It's an opportunity for you and I to go, oh, it never was. My contentment never was in my health. My contentment never was in my situation. My contentment was never was in all of those things. My contentment was in the power and the strength of Jesus Christ that surpasses all of that. And as I want to finish with the beginning part of Philippians chapter 4, because I don't just want to give you that kind of ambiguous seek God, pursue Him. I want to give us some handles. And the Bible is so good. It does give us some handles. It gives us some ways to seek after God. And so the Apostle Paul gives us this earlier in chapter 4 and verses 6 through about 9. And so we're going to read those together. And I want to give you four things, okay? Four things as I close today to help us. What does it look like to pursue God, to seek after Him? What does it look like to rest in the fact that Christ is my strength? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, get this, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You want to know one of the best evangelism tools that we have in our pocket is peace, is contentment. It surpasses all understanding. It's where people look at our life and go, wait a second, what is that? That is a mess. How do you have that? How do we walk into that? And I think as believers, we should walk into it and we should own it. We should embrace it of going, this comes from Christ. And it comes from Christ alone. And so whatever you're chasing here, it's not going to fulfill you. It's not going to satisfy you. And the first one that I want us to get here, it says that, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. And so I want to give you these two things. Prayer and praise are powerful weapons in our toolbox, in our toolkit that we can pull out to pursue God. Is when we feel that anxious feeling, that anxious thought, I can immediately go to God with it. I can immediately go to Him in prayer and say, God, can you help me with this? God, what do you think I should do in this situation? God, I need your wisdom right here, right now. It could be praise. It could be, I'm feeling anxious right now. Let me turn on some worship music. Let me turn on the service. Again, let me get Jacob singing in my ear right here, right? Like cornerstone, like all these things, right? To go back to praise and allow that just to speak to our hearts. Allow that to begin to speak to us in our hearts and allow that prayer and praise. And you'll see the beauty of prayer is it's rekindling that relationship with Christ every single day because I'm going to Him for my strength. And that His peace will begin to come over us and through us and work in us. And the second one is, he adds a little caveat there, prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving, right? And for you and I, the second one is to find gratitude. Find gratitude. I put the word find there because sometimes it's elusive, right? Sometimes it's hiding, right? Like we got to search for that thing. Like the treasure hidden in the field. We got to look for gratitude because there are seasons, if we're all honest with each other, we kind of take the mask off, right? Like there are seasons where you're like, well, I can't be grateful for nothing. This is terrible, God. This season is awful. Like what is happening? But for you and I, we got to find those moments of gratitude. It could be as simple and as basic as going, oh, I woke up this morning. Thank you, Lord, right? Like I got air in my lungs. You are not done with me yet. Ooh, my leg, it's not as sore today. Like, yes, thank you. Hallelujah, right? Like the sun is out. Yes, right? Like it could be as basic as that. But then it can go even further, right? Of moments of going, God, as I look at my past, how you've provided for me every step of the way. And even I've noticed, even in the hard times, you are still there. Even in the hard times, I made it through. You carried me through, God. You are faithful, right? And all of a sudden, thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you how you're providing and gratefulness. And if we look at scientifically at our mind, gratefulness begins to literally rewire our brain. It creates this new matter in our brains when we are grateful, and it starts to renew us. It starts to renew what God is doing in us and through us, so much so that if you go and read like a self-help book or you go to read something outside of Christianity, gratitude is going to be in there, right? But God is our creator. He knows us. He wires us, and He knew that. He writes it right here in Scripture saying gratitude begins to change us, and it keeps us connected to the heart of God, of going, God, you're working in this, you were helping me in and through this. And the third thing is, everybody still okay? And the third thing is, he starts this, continue on in verses 8 and 9. And the third one I want us to get here is check your thoughts. Check your thoughts. It starts right here in between our ears, right? The stress, the worry, the movie. I love this description, the movie that we're playing in our mind. I am so good at coming up with all kinds of crazy scenarios, right? Like, oh, this is going to happen. They're going to say this. This is going to happen. And all of a sudden, my mind is playing a movie that's not even happened yet. And I'm adding stress and anxiety and worry to a situation that hasn't even happened yet, right? And so I have to check my mind, check my thoughts of going, wait a second, how can I surrender every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ? And this is what Apostle Paul says in chapter 4. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I love that. He's saying your thought life matters, what we think about. He's saying, hey, focus on what is true, especially when things are foggy, when you don't know what's in front of us. God, I don't know what's next, but what I know is true is you are good. What I know is true is that you are faithful, right? In the valley, we still have to sing to God because our emotions may be trying to tell our brain something else, right? Like our feelings, God, I'm hurt right now. All these things, well, I got to go back to what is true. God will come through. God will walk with me. God will give me strength, and I can focus my thoughts in on one of those. And what we take in, it is a big deal. The music we listen to, the shows we watch, the movies we watch, all those things matter because they're things that we are ingesting. They're things that are creating thoughts in our minds and in our hearts. The conversations that we're having, all of these things are building those thoughts and can direct what is happening in us, the news we watch, like, right? Like all these things that can begin to add this worry and stress. And for you and I, we have to go back of going, okay, I need to check my thoughts. I would even encourage you, there's a couple of great resources if you would like to know them about just your thought life. And I would encourage you to kind of take a mental note, right? A mental note of your thoughts. Okay. Take a mental note of your thought life. Just say, okay, what am I thinking about? Today, when I wake up, when I'm at work, is it anxiety driven? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it I don't like them? Whatever it is, like, what am I even thinking about? Maybe you want to take some notes and journal that out and begin to start to, as Romans chapter 12 says, renew your mind. And adding in gratitude, right? Like adding in those things that we have. When we open up our paycheck, no matter how big or small it is, right? Open up, woo, thank you, God, right? Like, thank you for this. Whatever it may be, we start to renew our minds. And then in verse 9, Apostle Paul says this, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I mean, they're just talking about five verses and over again, Paul is saying, hey, do this and the peace of God's going to be with you. Hey, do this and rely on his strength. Hey, do this and the member of the peace of God's going to be with you. It's like he keeps reminding us that the peace of God follows and are in these things, and these things are tied to Jesus, and these things get us closer to Jesus. That's why we can experience that. But this is what he says here for number 4. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And so the fourth one is live as if you believe Jesus is the answer. I want to encourage us. We are to live it out the way we talk, the way we make decisions, the way we pick our jobs, the way we pick our houses, all these things, right? We live it out. We put into practice. The Apostle Paul is saying, what you've seen me do in Christ, you do the same. There's something about when you and I act in obedience and start to live these things out that not only does it do something in us, I believe it does something in our faith. That every time you and I take a faith step that God's called us to, and we see God move, we see God work in it, all of a sudden it stretches our faith even more. Go, ooh, you showed up in that. Maybe you'll show up in this, and maybe you'll show up in this, and maybe you'll show up in this, and you look back and you're going, wow, look how God grew me in this. Look how God changed my thought life. Look how God changed my relationships and how it started with me trusting him. And then I began to live it out in what God has called us to do. And now our decisions that we make are based and rooted in that Christ will give me strength. God will give me contentment in this. Now I'm not making this decision, and I'm checking my motives, right? Because am I making this decision so that I may look better? Am I making this decision to fulfill something in me that I'm feeling a void in, right? Like, am I making this decision so that it will elevate my family? Am I making this decision, or am I making this decision because it's going to help my family grow closer to Christ? Am I making this decision so that I can live out what God has called me to, right? And we begin to make decisions filtered through our relationship with Christ. And we start to live out our lives, and we see God begin to do something in us and through us. Maybe we never thought was even possible. Maybe we experience this peace and this contentment that is so attractive, this sweet aroma to the world around us of going, wow, that is incredible. I don't know about you, but I want to live that way. I want to have this deep, satisfying in every situation. I want to know that as we get ready to head into 2022, which is crazy to think about, right? But as I head into there, I'm going to head into it with full contentment, with full peace, knowing that Christ is already moving in front of me. Christ is already working in front of me. And yet I'm not going to live. As I'm evaluating my goals, right? I'm going to start evaluating my goals and what is next around what Christ will have for me. How can God work through me in this season? How can God work through me in it? And so as I close today, we're going to sing a song together and worship together. I'd love just to kind of challenge us of, as you look at these four things that Philippians chapter 4 gives us, prayer and praise, finding gratitude, checking our thoughts, and then living as if we believe Jesus is the answer. Out of those four things, what do you want to kind of cling to this week? What do you want to lean into going, okay, I need to find gratitude. Maybe I need to write three things down every single morning just to kick my morning off with gratitude. Maybe I'm wrestling through even a relationship. I'm wrestling through something at work. Or I'm wrestling through a parent, whatever it is. I need to go back. How do I find gratitude in what I am stressed about, in what I am worried about, in what I feel heavy about? How do I find gratitude in that? How do I begin to maybe check my thoughts? What am I thinking about? Whatever it is. And then, God, give me strength to live this out. Give me strength to carry this with me. Give me strength to walk in this. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your strength, God. Thank you for the promise that in every situation, God, that we can have peace, God, that we can have contentment, that we can have this fully mentally and emotionally satisfying moment in you. God, I know that you have dreams and desires in us, God, and I'm not praying that those would be squashed, but I'm praying that in those desires, in those goals, in those things that you have called us to, God, that we know that our peace comes from you, that our identity comes from you, God. And that we can rest in the fact that our strength, God, the secret to contentment is that our strength comes from you and you alone, God. I pray that you move in the midst. I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that you guide us and direct us, God. I pray that if anybody that can hear my voice, maybe they don't have a relationship with you, God, I pray that they take that next step to talk to someone, to message us, to pray with us here today in the room, that we can settle that, God, because we know that you are our strength. And that's only from you. This world cannot provide it. I pray that you give us boldness. I pray that you give us courage. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.